This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
It's only been 2 weeks, but on the line we have Paul Grabowski, who is the Executive Director of Monash University Performing Arts Centres, and Paul's going to be chatting with us today about the MLive program. Paul, thanks for joining us.
Eve, great to be back. I feel like I should move in.
Please do. I think I know one person we could shift off the show to fit you in.
Watch it. Watch it. But Paul, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. But you were filling in a couple of weeks ago, and they dragged you in at the last minute. But this is an important time. Tell us, for those that weren't listening a couple of weeks ago, what your role is and the season that you're here to talk about today.
Okay, well, thanks, David. Look, my role is called Executive Director of Monash University Performing Arts Centres. And when I first started at Monash, which is, 10 years ago, I can't believe it, but it is, it was called Monash Academy of Performing Arts, which would lead anybody to think that it was one of the university's numerous teaching arms. Mm. But it wasn't. It was something which looked after what was then a fairly run-down assortment of performing arts venues, without any kind of real sense of direction. There was a very important relationship with the School of Music, which is now the School of Music and Performance, the Sir Zelman Cowen School of Music and Performance, in fact. And that's, you know, that is ongoing. I mean, that's part of our sort of central function. But what we really wanted to do was realise a dream of the Vice-Chancellor at the time, who's Ed Byrne. And Ed had a view that the Clayton campus, particularly of Monash, which is, you know, the sort of mother campus,
yeah,
could become a cultural hub for the southeast corridor of Melbourne, which is a very large area incorporating many different zones, stretching right down into the Mornington Peninsula and out now virtually to the Latrobe Valley, really, and all of, you know, eastern Melbourne. Around about 2.5 million people, probably,
wow,
in that zone. And he would, you know, he thought that we could create a sort of cultural precinct which would stand for a certain kind of set of values which really spoke to, I guess, that part of Melbourne population. Which sounds very ambitious, but what happened was that during the succeeding years, the university invested a lot of money in the building of a very contemporary performing arts centre, now called the Ian Potter Centre for Performing Arts. And that was built around the original Alexander Theatre, which was one of the foundation Monash Clayton buildings from 1968, but in incredible disrepair. That was completely rebuilt by the architect Peter Elliott and then became the sort of centrepiece of a whole performing arts complex, which has got two other venues in it. One is the David Lee Sound Gallery, which is a sort of salon-sized space with this amazing sound technology called the Meyer Constellation System. And the other space is called The Counts, and that is, well, it was originally imagined as a jazz club, which I guess is not surprising, given that I have
to
do with jazz. but, you know, it's more than just that. It's a really just a premium music venue. It's got a great bar. It's run by the Script Group, who do Blondie at the Melbourne Recital Centre. And, you know, so they're experts in that kind of field of the hospitality side of performing arts business. And, yeah, we're up and running. And obviously the last couple of years, like everybody else, we were forced to stop a lot of our activities. But in spite of that, actually, during the darkest days of the lockdowns, we were doing live streams from mainly from the David Lee Sound Gallery, using remote-controlled cameras. So artists would come in and perform, not have any contact with another living being, do their set and leave in perfect safety. And so we were keeping at least a performing arts function going when most other places were dark. So
it's incredible.
It's been a really interesting and challenging time. But, you know, we've got a very ambitious program ahead of us. And onward and upward, David.
All right. Well, let's talk about it. So in May, back-to-back theatre, who are they and what are they doing?
So back-to-back are a Geelong-based theatre.
Just won a major award, didn't they?
They sure have. No, they have global sort of fame now. They won the Ibsen Award, which is a Norwegian prize, which I think is the most lucrative prize awarded for new and innovative theatre in the world.
Wow.
Not surprising that they got it because the quality of their work is exceptional and it is entirely... featuring the work of people with various disabilities.
That's right.
So, you know, it's extraordinary. The work explores the whole world of disability and, you know, completely deconstructs a lot of myths around what that world consists of, the lives of those people, the thoughts, hopes and dreams of those people.
Mm.
And their director... oh, whose name has just escaped me for a moment.
Oh,
but
he is
one of great theatre makers.
Absolutely. And do you know what? They really do, Paul, they push the boundaries because over the years there have been, you know, like in all the... you know, like the arts festivals and, you know, like the international arts festivals here in Australia and travel the world. And, and you know, like, and when you go and see them, you go, gosh, what they're doing is exceptional. And it's no surprise that they won that award.
Mm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And this new work that they're doing, which is called The Shadow Whose Prey the Hunter Becomes, is a really interesting. It's done almost like a town hall meeting.
Oh, okay.
In which, and you know, there's always, of course, an incredible amount of humour in their work too.
Yep.
Although it is also sometimes also it plumbs the depths of darkness. This work, I would say, is comedic, and really does address. You know, it shows us the way that a lot of people in that sector feel about the way they are perceived, but turns the light back on us as able-bodied people.
Mm.
So it's you know, witty, it's ironic, and it's, oh, look, yeah, it's an amazing piece. Bruce Gladwin, by the way, is the director.
That's right, of course it is. Now, but the only thing wrong with this, Paul, is that it's on for two nights. What the hell are you doing? You know, like, it's a... You know, like people are going to go crazy for tickets.
Well, we hope so. I mean, look, you know, we're building an audience out in an area where audiences for this kind of work, they're not used to seeing that sort of stuff. And, you know, normally you see pieces like Shadow at an arts festival, as you just said. You know, that's their circuit. And, you know, very often in arts festivals, there might only be a couple of performances of a major work. So, in a way, one of our programming models really is like an arts festival type offer, but spread across a year rather than, you know, corralled into a couple of weeks. Look, I really hope we get to the point, David, where, you know, we can have more extended seasons of pieces like that. And who knows? That may well happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a fantastic programming team. I've got a, you know, the whole force of the university is behind us. And, you know, great marketing assets and, you know, wonderful technical staff. So we've got everything set up for success, I think. It's now just a matter of being ambitious but also patient.
Okay, so people go out. Are bookings open for that yet? Do you know?
Yeah, they are. Right. They're all on sale.
Okay, so back-to-back theatre, don't miss it. It will be. I haven't, you know, like, obviously I haven't seen it, but you know, like, you've got to see this company. They're so good.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah. So, okay, you've got a couple of seasons in September. What are they?
Oh, I think the next one after that would be The Sacred Veil.
That's right.
Which is an amazing work that we commissioned, actually, together with the Los Angeles Master Chorale, by the world-renowned choral composer Eric Whittaker. And Eric Whittaker has done a lot of things. Some of your listeners may be familiar with his TED Talks. He's a great public speaker.
Yep.
Some of them also may be very familiar with the virtual choir project, which is, you know, Eric writes very beautiful, very evocative choral music, which is often sung by choirs. But what he's done here is he makes the various parts of a piece available to people around the world, and they sing their part, and then he takes their performance of that part and mixes it into the whole thing, so that he ends up with this choir of thousands of voices from all over the world, which he has sort of brought, you know, digitally brought together, and their faces can all be seen on screen when the piece is being performed. So it's really quite beautiful and, you know, very of our time, particularly given that during the global lockdowns, the only kind of opportunity that most people would have had to do anything was in the privacy of their own living room or something like that. So, you know, it's, mind you, he'd started doing all this long before the pandemic started, but some people are just kind of, they seem to be onto things which then just become the thing du jour, you know, and I think that Eric is definitely one of those guys. And this piece, The Sacred Veil, which he's written with a dear friend of his, is really, it explores grief and the process of grieving, the stages of grieving.
Mm.
And ultimately, of course, like all his work, very uplifting, redemptive kind of piece.
Mm. And then also later in September is Indian Performing Arts Convention. Wow.
Yes.
This sounds interesting.
Yes. So, you know, amongst the many very diverse, wonderful communities out in our part of Melbourne is a strong South Indian contingent. And look, I've had a bit to do with South Indian music in my life. When I was the director of the Australian Art Orchestra, we started a project back in the mid-90s with the help of a wonderful man called Ravi Chandran, who is a musician. He plays one of the very important instruments in South Indian Carnatic music, which is called the mridangam, which is a double-ended drum. And we toured India, and he put us in touch with one of the great masters of that music, a guy called Tarakuti Mani, and we toured India with Mani and his crew. And that relationship continued for many, many years, and there's been various different musical spin-offs as a result of it. And Ravi, still very connected and very motivated to get behind Carnatic music and I guess, introduce Western and or local audiences to it. I mean, it's an incredible art form, one of the most sophisticated forms of music making which exists in the world. And it's very linked to dance as well. So Carnatic dance language is also a rather remarkable thing. So, yeah, we're getting involved with that, and wow. I think that will be a very, very exciting thing to be part of.
Yeah. Hey, and Paul, the wonderful thing is all three are so different to each other. You know, like you've really sort of, you know, like if somebody's not interested in that, they're going to be interested in this. You know, I like that. Or everything's captured my attention, and I'm interested in all. So congratulations. It's a great program.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. And thank you for your ongoing support. I mean, Joy's been wonderful, really.
Our absolute pleasure. And, of course, all you've got to do is just go to Monash University Performing Arts Centre and just Google it. You'll find the link there. But honestly, people, go and see Back-to-Back Theatre in May because they're extra special.
Hooray for you.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Thanks for chatting.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to Paul Grabowski here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.